Well, good morning, all you coffee shop members. Great place to be in our coffee shop this morning, sharing the Word of God with you. We are going to be talking about prayer and faith this morning. Before we open in prayer and faith, I'd like to open with Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Wow, what an awesome psalm that is. Speaking of prayer and faith, you cannot have one without the other. Prayer and faith go together like brother and sister, united in love. Prayer and faith is showing our deep love for our Lord Christ Jesus. We know him, we show him that we trust him for the outcome of what he will do. Remember, Jesus gave his life for you on the cross and rose again, resurrected so that we someday, if we are Christians, can be with him forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer and faith topics for this lesson are: what is prayer and faith in the Bible? What does the Bible say about faith? How does the Bible say about prayer and how to pray? Answered prayers and miracles in sharing in my life. Now, these are some interesting topics that we could cover. You know, my wife and I learned about faith in God and trusting him. A few years back, we had people living in our home. We actually had five people that we took in that were homeless. And amazing things happened. We kept the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and he supplied our needs. Many times financially at the start, none of them had jobs, so it strained our financial needs. But my wife and I kept the faith, and God moved in his realm. We never got behind on any bills. The money kept coming in. And the food in our home, we had so much food, blessings from the Lord, that we ate good and never went hungry during these times. One time I remember filling the blessing box up, and I just stepped out there, and I looked without praying on our front porch. And I said, "Lord, we're getting a little bit low on canned food." The minute I stepped down the steps and walked out to the blessing box, there was four cases of canned food sitting on the ground. I just dropped to my knees on the ground and said, "Thank you, Jesus." That's what our Lord can do if you trust him. He will supply your needs. I want to share that with you. Prayer and faith. Prayer, what is it? It is God's power being released through faith. Also, it is a personal conversation that you have with the Lord, just between you and him. What is faith? In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." We must have faith that Father God will hear our prayers and his son Jesus will answer them. Did you know when you pray, actions take place in heaven? That is how much God loves us and loves to hear our prayers. I'm a firm believer in prayer, answered prayer, if it is in his will. There are so many answered prayers, but I will share some. A few years back, my brother-in-law Tom had lung cancer, and he never smoked. They were going to take away out a third of his lung, and we kept praying for him. Well, it so happened that prayers were answered. We prayed at our churches, and we prayed personally. And when the doctor examined Tom, he said, right before surgery, a couple of days before, he said, "What did you do? Cancer's gone, completely gone." And I know Tom, he shared Jesus Christ with the doctor. This is how one of the healing prayers that Jesus did in our lives. It's amazing because Jesus spoke to me on the phone and in my mind. And I called Tom on the phone. He says, "Tom is healed." I kind of shook my head. When you hear the voice of God, it startles you. And I called Tom and said, "You're healed." From that moment on, he was healed. Now, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for us over 2,000 years ago, and today still answers our prayers. The name of Jesus means Jehovah, Savior, or Lord saves. The title of Christ is derived from the Greek word for Messiah, which means anointed one. Did you know that all authority has been given Jesus by Father God when Jesus died on the cross for us? Having all authority means we can pray to the Father in his Son Jesus' name. There is no greater prayer, no one higher that we can go to. It's amazing. Psalms 50:10 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. You can truly see that God owns everything. He is all powerful and loves us greatly. Speaking some of the names of Father God and Jesus in the Bible, he is the Almighty One, Alpha and Omega, the Advocator, Author, Authority, Perfecter of our faith, Bread of Life, Beloved Son of God, Rock, Bridegroom, Chief Cornerstone, Deliverer, Faithful and True, Good Shepherd, the Great High Priest, Head of the Church, I Am, Holy Servant, Judge, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lamb of God, Light of the World, Our Hope, Redeemer, Prophet, Son of Man, the Way, the Truth, the True Vine, Prince of Peace." There are over 900 names in the Bible that describe Father God and Jesus, his Son. Over 900. Let's talk about faith. What does the Bible say about it? In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. To have faith, we must believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who died on the cross for us in our place. Not seeing him, but believing. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him." Ephesians 2:8-10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Grace is getting something we do not deserve. The greatest example of this is when Jesus went to the cross for us, and there was found no fault in him. We should have been hanging on that cross because we are the ones that guilty of sin, not Jesus. Well, how do we increase our faith? How do we truly increase our faith? Read God's word daily. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved." Continuing on, by faith, found in Hebrews 11, the elders obtained a good report. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered with a child when she was well past her age. I believe she was around the age of 90. And what shall we say more? For a time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, also of David and of Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, and many, many, many other things were done by faith. Well, let's look a little bit about prayer now. How do we pray as Christians? The Bible tells us to pray like this, found in Matthew 6, 7 through 15. We'll be looking in the New King James Version. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. In Matthew 6:14, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly your Father forgive your trespasses." This can really stop your prayer life if you do not forgive people. It can just bring it to a total halt. Speaking of prayer and faith, it says in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 8:1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Luke 22:40. When he came to them, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. John 14:13 says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How awesome is this when we pray to Jesus that glorifies our Heavenly Father? And also, speaking of prayer and faith, when you pray, the proper way to pray is to Father God first in Jesus' name. Because the role model prayer says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means holy or venerated. So when we pray to the Father first in his Son's name. Well, continuing on prayer and faith, I would like to bring up what I call a taste of hell. A taste of hell in the scriptures. And if you don't believe there's a hell, after I get done reading this, it will show you that there is. It's found in Luke 16:19-31. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid up at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom, which is the holding place for Christians back then before Christ rose from the dead. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great fixed gulf, so that those who would want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes from the dead to them, from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded one rise from the dead. You know, that's so true. You can't force somebody into believing about Jesus Christ. You know, it's something that we have to pray to Father God that he would call that person. You know, the scriptures tells you that Father God does a calling and Jesus does a saving. So it's very important. And I do that quite often. I'll pray, dear Father, please send so-and-so, call him to your son, Jesus, for salvation. Well, closing, would like to look in briefly in Revelation 20 and 21. Awesome books in the Bible. Revelation 20 tells us of the Lord's wrath on the unbelieving world for 7 years, a great tribulation period. Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years. The 1,000-year reign of Christ will begin. With Christ in total control on the earth, it will be great. The economy will be booming. I mean, it would just be an awesome place. At the end, there will be a great battle with Satan, and all evil will be cast into the lake of fire. At the very end, Satan and his forces will be let loose to try people on the earth again, because there'll be people born during that 1,000-year reign of Christ. And it goes on to say, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be there forever and ever. You're just in the hell forever and ever. There'll be no escape for you. But the good thing is Revelation 21 shows God's goodness. There will be a new heaven and a new earth created by God for us. We will dwell with him forever and ever, and he will take away every tear. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. As Christians, what a great day that will be. What a great day that will be. You know, we can all look forward to that. And I know it's hard many times as Christians to reach out and to witness to the lost. And it's still hard for me to do so, but I do, to put yourself out there. But that's what God wants us to do. I just want to encourage you all as Christians, you know, to share the good news, to share Christ Jesus. You know, you can even be sharing Christ Jesus with somebody, and somebody else can walk by and hear a little bit of that. You could plant that seed in their heart, and eventually it could turn into a salvation. At the truck stop, many times people will walk by and they'll come by and they'll stand and listen for a few minutes and walk on. But you don't know what they've heard. You do not know how God's word touches the heart. That's the amazing thing. Well, Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful for your great love, for your death on the cross for all of us. I want to say thank you for allowing me to share with the coffee shop prayer and faith this morning, which in Christ's name we pray. Amen.